Xi Jinping did not seem to broker a peace deal between Russia and Ukraine. Why?
Do you think Putin wants to keep fighting in Ukraine? And if so, what is the rationale behind it?
Yeah, he absolutely wants to keep fighting Ukraine and is not interested in any peace talk now that would have any chance of any success whatsoever.
Is this Putin's choice or an indicator of no choice?
If he were to be defeated in Ukraine, do you think he can still keep his job and even life?
The bottom line, however, of most people who spend their time studying Russian politics is that there's one thing that Putin regime is very, very good at, that's staying in power.
Putin might be able to persuade Xi to support him, but could Xi also benefit from a protracted Ukraine war?
I can't imagine how anyone in official Beijing would welcome a catastrophic, humiliating defeat for Russia.
And that could be connected to Taiwan. How does this work? And what does Xi really want from this Sino-Russian alliance? I discussed these questions and more with Dr. William Wolfworth, Professor of Government and Faculty Director of the Dartmouth Institute for Global Security.
Thank you, Professor Wolfworth, for joining Zooming In today.
Happy to be here.
Yeah, let's talk about Xi Jinping's Moscow trip. Xi Jinping just went to Moscow to see Putin. It was supposed to be a trip about peace, according to the Chinese media, but it ended up being a trip of, so-called strengthening the Chinese-Russian alliance. There are a few questions about why it turned out this way. First of all, do you think Putin wants to keep fighting in Ukraine? And if so, what is the rationale behind it?
Yeah, he absolutely wants to keep fighting in Ukraine and is not interested in any peace talk now that would have any chance of any success whatsoever with the Ukrainian side. And he does so because all evidence suggests the Russian side still thinks it can snatch a victory out of what appears to be a faltering military campaign. That is to say, I think that the mood in Moscow, as I am able to discern it from this distance, is that the Russians are settling down for and girding themselves for, preparing themselves for a long, tough fight in which they think they can outlast the Ukrainians and outlast the Western U.S.-led coalition of states supporting Ukraine.
What do you think Xi Jinping's goal? Do you think Putin persuaded Xi Jinping that we can still win this? Or it's just Xi Jinping couldn't persuade him to stop fighting?
I would love to know the answer to that question. I would love to know exactly what the Chinese side reckons the prospects for Russian success really are. We have, to my knowledge, no information on that exact question. There has been speculation that the question of what Russia might be willing to accept in some sort of peace settlement was raised during the summit, but since no progress was made on that, it played no role in the public representations of that summit. But we just don't fully know.
What do you think of their joint statement on the war over Ukraine? I think there is not even one more piece of information than what Xi Jinping has already released a couple of weeks ago.
Yes, I think it would be useful, these documents, both the PRC's a statement on the Ukraine war that was issued some time ago and the joint statement of Russia and Ukraine, would be nice subjects for a course in diplomacy, how to actually reconcile somewhat different positions while sounding as if you're agreeing and not really saying anything. That's essentially how I read those documents. They contain little snippets of language that is carefully crafted to resonate with each side's previous positions, but also don't contain anything concrete to suggest sort of how the two sides actually would resolve any of the trade-offs that are involved. So, for example, they refer to the United Nations Charter, which, of course, is the principal document supporting the sovereignty of states and the illegality of any forceful change of borders. There's no effort to reconcile that statement with the other part of the joint statement, which stresses something the Russians love, which is the idea that you shouldn't have blocks and you shouldn't try to achieve security of one side against the security of the other side. That's the classic Kremlin argument that the real problem with this war was caused by NATO and NATO's inclusion or consideration of the possibility of Ukrainian membership.
Okay. Another thought I have is, I think I'm just giving them excuses, but do you think the reason why they didn't say more is also because she hasn't talked to Zelensky? She has to get the Ukrainians' position in order to propose anything viable.
Yes, we keep hearing that this is a conversation that is supposed to happen, and it hasn't happened. She is now busy with the meeting with Central Asian countries, a summit of China and Central Asian countries that is not involving Russia, which is a very interesting thing to have announced while he was in Moscow. But we don't see the call with Zelensky. We don't really see what we see in the document is an attempt, all observers of Chinese foreign policy suggest, to still portray China as not 100% a war that is about the change in borders, a forceful change in borders, while at the same time seeming to be sympathetic to an understanding of Russia's security concerns.
You just talked about how Putin still thinks he can pull it off. I want to get your opinion on another aspect of Putin's reasoning, if you will. Do you think Putin believes he cannot afford to lose the Donbas and Crimea? If he were to be defeated in Ukraine, do you think he can still keep his job and even life?
Well, this is a question that no one could really know the precise answer to, for the simple reason that if anybody is plotting anything against Putin, the first requirement of any such plot is absolute and total secrecy. And so we have no way of judging this. The bottom line, however, of most people who spend their time studying Russian politics is that there's one thing that Putin regime is very, very good at, that's staying in power. They're experts at staying in power. And, you know, what would happen would depend on the circumstances of this failure in Ukraine. Nobody knows. In all likelihood, there would be some gap between any sort of sudden downturn in Ukraine and any change at the top levels of the Russian leadership. There'd probably be some time, who knows how long, and then later people would look back and say, ultimately there was a change in government, there was a change in leader, and maybe that could be traced back to the Ukraine situation. Just like Khrushchev way back in the Cold War was removed from power several years after he was perceived to have not done that well in his confrontation with the United States in the Cuban Missile Crisis.
That's very interesting. From the Chinese point of view, it is very hard to imagine if Xi Jinping loses the war over Taiwan, he will still be able to stay in power. Two of my sources have told me that the reason Xi Jinping was able to amend the constitution and get reelected the third time is because he promised to the party that he will regain Taiwan. So if that task fails, then he can't stay in power. I thought Russia would be the same way, but according to you, that may not be the case.
If you look at the, I think that's a brilliant observation. And I think if you look at the rhetoric, if you look at the discourse, if you look at the conversation in Russia before February of last year, you will not see in that political space the same kind of language vis-a-vis Ukraine that you would see in China vis-a-vis Taiwan. Most observers, even closely connected to the Kremlin, were absolutely surprised by this decision of Putin in February 2022 to invade. In some sense, you have a project of seeking to sustain Russia's great power status, which is subscribed to by the larger Russian elite. But the wisdom of securing that objective via a massive invasion is questioned and was questioned by many members of that elite. So I'm not so sure that Ukraine, as important as it is for the Russian self-understanding, has been framed in the political context quite the same way that that Taiwan was in the Chinese political context.
So the only way Putin could be taken out is through a coup. What about the upcoming presidential election in Russia? Would that be able to change anything at all?
It's unlikely to. As you know, Xi Jinping basically endorsed Putin's candidacy, even though Putin had not yet announced his candidacy. The Russian regime has got a pretty good lock on this, sadly and tragically, a strong lock on civil society. In general, I think most people don't expect the way regime change happens is through mass demonstrations and sort of some uprising of people or mass collective action at the polls. The way most people would see a regime change occurring would be an inside job. And basically, you know, metaphorically speaking, Putin wakes up every morning doing everything in his power to make sure that never happens. That's not to say that it couldn't happen, but it's barring a real breakdown in the Russian society and Russian armed forces, the only way most analysts see a path towards a regime change would be some sort of inside job, which would be kept extremely secret prior to the moment of its unveiling.
That's interesting. What do you think Putin wants from Xi? Has he achieved what he wanted?
I think he achieved part of his goal. And part of his goal was the affirmation of this partnership, the strategic partnership, maybe not using the language of a partnership without limits that he may have wanted. Maybe there were some deals in that the Russian side has been seeking, such as the Power of Siberia 2 pipeline that were not yet agreed to at this summit. But so much of the optics were so favorable, so welcomed by the Putin leadership, that it would be hard for me to imagine they're looking at this summit as some sort of total failure. Obviously, we are getting plenty of commentary by people close to the Russian leadership that are bewailing the sense that Russia is becoming ever more a junior partner to Beijing. But the big picture here is of the second largest economy in the world, the second most powerful country in the world, a huge rising power, its powerful and prestigious leader sitting with you in Moscow for days and endorsing this partnership. You know, the Russian brown bear and the panda bear, you know, with their backs to each other facing down the American world order. So the look of it was highly welcome by Putin, particularly since he had just received news only days before of the International Criminal Court's indictment against him for war crimes.
Do you think Putin would want Xi Jinping to provide lethal weapons to Russia?
I can't imagine that he would not want that. Now, the military experts are not 100% agreed upon the nature of weapons or ammunition shortages in the Russian military. But I think most people think that they are beginning to hit some bottlenecks that China could conceivably help overcome. However, I think in the opinion of most military analysts, the kind of support that China would have to give to make a difference in the war would have to be overt. There doesn't seem to be any way that China could move this kind of gear into Russia without U.S. and other intelligence services picking this up. Therefore, China really can't do this without making it a fairly visible, overt step that so far it has been unwilling to take.
Right. What do you think Xi Jinping wants to get from this alliance? What does he care about the most?
Well, again, I still think that you see from Chinese documents, Chinese statements, Chinese official standing positions, that the Chinese government of Xi Jinping still is very dissatisfied with the way the world order currently exists, that it is too centered on the United States and its Western alliance system, that it has double standards, that it is exclusionary towards rising powers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And to have, again, the most powerful nuclear power in the world, the largest country geographically in the world, at your side in this project of moving towards what they call a new multipolar or a multi-vector, a fairer, as they claim, world order, is a net plus for Xi Jinping, particularly when he's seeing in the United States a concerted effort, in their view, to contain and tamp down China's rise, to do everything in America's power to stymie and prevent China from assuming that place in the world which he has pledged to attain. So having Russia as an ally, even if not a formal ally, but as a valued strategic partner, is very useful from that perspective.
I'm thinking one possibility that I want to get your opinion on. I believe Xi Jinping's plan A over Taiwan is still use the united front tactic, or the so-called peaceful means to take Taiwan. But he hasn't and won't give up his plan B, which is military invasion. So if he thinks at some point in the near future he might need to resort to plan B, he would want the Russian-Ukrainian war to still go on at that time, so the United States won't be able to focus on helping Taiwan. That's one of the reasons Xi Jinping wants to support Putin, so Putin can last longer till the Taiwan invasion. What do you think? This program is not finished yet. If you want to watch the rest of it, please become a member of our website, zoominin.tv. $5 a month or $50 a year. Cancel anytime. You will have access to my extended interviews and full in-depth reports. For those who are not quite ready to become a member yet, you're welcome to visit our website as well. We have all the shows we publish on YouTube on our website, so in case someday we're no longer on YouTube, you know where to find us. Oh, you can simply donate to us on our website too.